Our Heavenly Father, what a joy this morning to be in the house of the Lord to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But you did shed your blood. And today we stand clean before the Lord because of the blood that Jesus shed. The blood of the Lamb that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. We ask that our blood will speak better things into every life this morning in Jesus' name. Because it is based, we now have something that is based on better promises, a better covenant, a more excellent way that the Lord gave for us to the holies. We give you praise this morning, Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, as we go into the Word of God, we ask, as always, we know the entrance of your Word brings light. And may the Word of the Lord bring that light into our life this morning. And let your name be glorified in the message of the Lord. And meet everybody's needs this morning. We give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on, let's be excited before the Lord this morning. Glory to God. Now this morning, I'm going to start a two-part, hopefully it won't be more than two-part series. Might finish it next week. If it gets longer, it'll be three parts, but I think it'll be two parts. The riches of God's glory this morning. And part one of this, the riches of His glory, part one is beyond the veil. The riches of His glory, part one this morning. I'm going to start at Romans chapter 9. Now remember, this is resurrection day. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thinking today of the great things that the Lord did for us by going to the cross, by laying down His life. And Jesus Himself said, He said, "No man taketh my life from me. This commandment I've received of my Father. I lay down and I take it up again." You know, in fact, when He told them that destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up, you know, they accused Him that He was planning, you know, to destroy the temple where they worshiped. They didn't understand what He was talking about. But He did exactly as He said. And, you know, He went to that cross and He shed that blood. And the Bible says the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, He nailed it to the cross. Oh, my. And He gave us all a clean slate. Now, if you can only receive it, see, He already done His part. The rest is up to you to receive it this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now we're going to start at Romans, and you have to pay attention to this message as we go through here. Romans chapter 9, and I'm going to start at verse 6. I have a lot of verses that I'm going to read. I'm going to give you a background to this message. Now remember, the riches of His glory. And this morning we're going beyond the veil, because Jesus already took care of that. Now let's see what Romans chapter 9 tells us. I'm going to start at verse 6. Now, not as though as the word of God were taking on effect. For they are not all Israel, which are Israel. See, they are not all Israel. Neither because are they the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But He said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know, so there's two things that He's talking about there. He's talking about the natural line, and He's talking about the spiritual line. Now, that is to say, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. See, now being born into a Christian family doesn't make you a child of God. Being even born by Abraham, or being in that lineage, He's saying here, doesn't make you the children of God. See, now, who are the children of God then? But the children of the promise. See, these are counted for the seed. Now, God promised something right from Genesis 3 and verse 15. He promised the seed of the woman would come and bruise the head of the devil. See, now, so, as that promise began to come to fulfillment, Jesus, the whole world is celebrating this weekend, you know, the fulfillment of that promise, where the seed of the woman finally came, and He bruised the head of the devil at that cross. And the Bible says that the children who came through that promise, they are counted for the seed. Now, this is the word of promise that He spake. He said unto Sarah, at that time that you shall have a son. And not only that, now listen to this. He went from Sarah, now He's going to talk about Rebekah. You see, who was the wife of Isaac. And He said, when Rebekah was pregnant, you know, she was pregnant with twins. Now the children that were in her womb, he says in verse 11, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. See, they were still in the womb. She was having twins. These children were not yet born. They had not done good or evil, either one of them, because they were still in the womb. But that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Now the Lord then said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now these kids were still in the womb. They hadn't even been born yet. It's not because one of them already did this or the other already did that. But the Lord said, the elder shall serve the younger. And it is written, you know, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated and so forth. Now he says, now what then shall I say? Is there unrighteousness with God? No. God forbid. Because he's going to tell you that, look, this is where we are going with this message. For he said to Moses in verse 15, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor yet of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. How many of you can say amen to that? Now you may not understand all of that yet, but by the end of this message, you will understand. You don't want to miss part two of this series, because we are going to end at the mercy seat. And we're going somewhere with this message. Now, here's what he did. The Bible says even to Pharaoh, that at the same time, for this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout the earth. So God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. There's a story in that. I don't have time to go into that this morning, but you may have read that story, or you may know about it. You know, when the children of Israel were in Israel and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, and God did great things by the hands of Moses, and finally, you know, he tormented the land, killed all their firstborn and so forth like that, you know. And there is a story about the blood in that too, in Exodus chapter 12, when the Lord said, you take the lamb and put the blood on your doorposts, and when the destroyer comes through your land, I will cause him to pass over you because of the blood. How many of you say praise the Lord? Well, finally, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh to go after them so that the Lord might show even greater power and greater, you know, deliverance for his people and so forth. Now, let's see what the rest of this says. But nay, O man, what who art thou that replies against God? Verse 20. Shall the thing that is formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath? See, now, there are two things in this verse here. There is the wrath of God, and there is the mercy of God. Now, God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory. Now that's where this message is coming from this morning. The riches of his glory to the vessels of mercy. See now, if you are a vessel of mercy, you ought to give the praise to the Lord. Because it is God that showeth mercy. You see, there's nobody, Jesus himself said, no man can come unto me except the Father draws him. You can't do it. You know, you cannot do it. It is not of works. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. See, but he draws people by that gospel. See, now when you hear that gospel, that's God drawing you. You know, now it is up to you then to respond and believe the gospel and come in, you know, in with God. But he says to the vessel of mercy, you know, that he has prepared unto glory. Now, so that's where we're going with this series. Even us. Now, Paul didn't just put it out there and say, well, there are some vessels of all, you know, glory and vessels of mercy somewhere. He put himself right in the mix. He said, even us. And when I read that scripture, and I said, wow, that sounds like me. Because I have received the mercy of the Lord in my life. Have you received the mercy of the Lord in your life? Are you here by your works of righteousness that you have done, or by his grace alone? We know it's not by works of righteousness, but it is by his grace. Now, I'm going to jump down here to verse 25. It says, I will call them my people, which were not my people. Many of us were astray from God. You see, in the beginning, God chose the children of Israel as his people. But later on, he found fault with that covenant. He did away with that. And he brought Christ. And he now says to a people, that's all of you here, the Gentiles and so forth, that were never called by his name, they will now be called by his name. He says, I will now, the people that were not called by my name, they will be called by my name. Those who are not beloved, they will now be called beloved. See, and in the place where it was said unto them that ye are not my people, that's the very place where they shall be called the children of the living God. Oh my. If you only knew how deep that was. Did anybody give up on you? Did anybody ever say that you have no hope, you can't be anything? The Bible says that's exactly the people that God is looking for. The people that God, now that the people that the world has thought that they can't amount to anything. That you can't be anything. You know, he said, that's exactly the people that will be the children of the Lord. All they have to do is receive the grace of God this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And this is the thing that Christ came into this world to do for us. Now that's the story. That's the background to the story. You know, and he's talking about the riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy. Now, that scripture that we just read reveals many secrets. And I don't have time to go into all of it this morning, but I'm going to go forward with this message. And I'm going to say that for through this glory that he was talking about, the riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Now, for ages, the glory of God had been shielded or veiled in one form or the other. Now, even Moses, when he asks to see the glory of God, you know, that's in Exodus chapter 33. He asks to see the glory of God in verses 18 to 19. And he says, I want to see your glory. And God finally told him, you know, but I want to read that to you so you will see, you know, where we are going with this message this morning. It is all about the mercy of the Lord. That's what this series is all about, the mercy of the Lord. Now, every time I talk about the mercies of the Lord, he just takes me into a new dimension, you know, about his mercies. Moses said, Lord, I beseech you, show me thy glory. And here's what he told him in Exodus 33 and verse 19. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Now, here's where he told him what we read in Romans 9. And I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. Now, here is the revelation in this verse. Moses asked to see his glory. But the Lord is talking about his mercy. Now, so I want you to connect the two, because that's where we are going in this series. And we read that the riches of his glory are given to the vessels of mercy for whom he prepared the same glory. Now Moses said, show me your glory. The Lord said, well, you know, I'll cause my goodness to pass before you, but I will give my mercy to whomever I will give my mercy. You know, so the Lord, right away, he brings in the mercy of the Lord into, you know, Moses wanting to see his glory. And here's what happened when the Lord finally came down to fulfill the request that Moses asked in Exodus 34. And the Lord, verse 5, descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now that's the Lord proclaiming his own name. So we're going to see what the Lord has to say about himself. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. See, now people say many things about the Lord. They call him Jehovah Jireh, they call him Jehovah Nisi, they call him, you know, Jehovah Rofeka, you know, and all of these things. We've preached on those names before. But let's see what the Lord has to say about himself. Amen? 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 Are you still with me this morning? And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord. Now, this is the Lord declaring his own name. He said, the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord and said, the Lord God. And here's the first thing he said about himself. Merciful.
Hallelujah.
And gracious. Long-suffering. Yeah. And abundant in goodness and truth. Yeah. Keeping mercy for thousands. Oh my. Even as I speak, I can feel, you know, that presence of his mercy. Hallelujah. Can you feel the mercy of the Lord? Oh my. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. My. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, the mercy of the Lord is here this morning. Hallelujah. Now, if you receive the mercy of the Lord, you can stop right there. You know. But if you don't receive the mercy of the Lord, now here's what he will do. And he will by no means clear the guilty. See, first he talks about his mercy, then he talks about his righteousness. See, now he's going to bring the mercy of the Lord first, and then he's going to bring, you know, if you don't receive that mercy, then you're going to have to face the judgment of the Lord. See, and that comes because he's a righteous God. He will not clear the guilty, but he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and the children's children, and so forth, to the third and fourth generation. But he wants us to receive his mercy. So, when Moses asked for his glory, the Lord said, I'm going to show you the mercy of the Lord. Wow. Now, how do we connect receiving the glory of God to the mercy of God? That's where we are going, you know, with this message. Now, I'm going to bring us back to what Jesus did upon the cross. And I'm going to show us how, you know, when Moses, after seeing the glory of God in this verse, this chapter 34 that we are reading here, after he has seen the glory of God, if you read down further in chapter 34, this same chapter 34 and verse 29, after Moses had been with the glory of God in his presence and so forth, here's what happened in verse 29 of 34. Exodus 34. And it came to pass that Moses came down from the mount of Sinai, and he had the two tables of the testament that God had given him, and so on, that Moses did not know that his face was shining while he talked. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. See, finally they told Moses, we're scared of that glory. They wanted Moses to put a veil on his face. Now that's where that veil come from. See, so they want Moses to put a veil on his face and so forth. Now that's what sin will do to you. Sin will make you dread the glory of God. Let me repeat that. The sin in your life will make you dread and be afraid of the glory of God. Whereas the glory of God is supposed to be the mercy of God that draws you in. Sin will make you run away from it. Now these people, they wouldn't have any part. They didn't want anything to do with that glory. In fact, they told Moses, now you go talk to the Lord and then you come talk to us. I mean, how pitiful is that? They wanted Moses to be the one that will hear from God. See, they didn't want to hear from God. They said, you go talk to God. And then you come tell us. Now, isn't that just like the people today? You want to leave it on to some people. You want to leave it up to some pastor or some this or some that to hear from God and give it to you. No, we are all called to be children of God. And we're going to show you in a minute where that's all going. See, that was in the Old Testament. That was then. You know, that Moses had to have a veil. And had to cover his face. And Moses had to be the only, holy, glory person. That was then. Jesus has done away with all of that. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Oh yes, he's done away with all of that. You say Jesus did away with all of that? Yes. Let me read to you that Moses, verse 33 of Exodus 34. And when Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And every time that Moses went before the Lord, he took away the veil. I see, but when he came back in verse 34 to speak to the people, he put the veil. Because people said, we don't want that glory. You know, you can have all that glory, but you just speak to us as a man. We don't want any part of God. You know, and I think, wow, my goodness. You know, I'm praying for the glory of God in my life every day. Are you?
Amen.
What will you do when that glory comes? Will you say, oh, I want no part of that? You know, or will you run to that glory? You know, and then so he put that veil. You can read it through verse 35. He put that veil upon his face. You know, the whole time. And that's where that all came about. But let's see what Jesus did to do away with all of that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Now, this is the story of Jesus dying on the cross. Of course, this is the season that we are celebrating. And Jesus, he died on the cross. We know that. And Matthew 27, I'm going to start at verse 45. Now, from about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now, the sixth hour, that's like high noon. See, because they start counting from 6 a.m. So, the sixth hour will be like noon. And from noon, 12 noon to about 3 p.m., there was darkness because Jesus was hanging upon the cross. See, Jesus was about to die. The righteous who knew no sin was about to become sin for us. And even the very glory of God in the heavens. The Bible says the heavens declare His glory and so forth. You know, the very light were ashamed. The sun and the moon were ashamed that Jesus would become sin. And they went dark for 3 hours. I mean, can you imagine from 12 noon to about 3 p.m. the whole land be dark? I mean, that's the brightest part of the day. But it was dark. And about the ninth hour, that's about the time that Jesus died, in case you're wondering. And he cried with a loud voice and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we preached on that before, that, see, as long as that glory was upon Jesus, he could not die. See, that glory had to depart from him. See, and when that glory departed, then he could take that place that he wanted to take for us, was to take our place in as a punishment for sin. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, so some of them that stood by, they heard it and said they thought he was calling for Elias. And then some of them mocked and said, well, we'll see whether Elias will come and save him and so forth. You know, but here's what happened in verse 40. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. That means he died. And right as soon as he died, here's what happened in the next verse, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple, as soon as Jesus died, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom.
Hallelujah.
Oh my. This was the veil that kept only the high priests and everybody, you know, else this way, and only the high priest could go in and so forth like that. But that was the veil. And next part two of this series, we're going to show you that temple. We're going to show you, you know, what the high priest did and so forth and all that, and how they kept, you know, everybody, nobody else could go in except the high priest. And even himself, he could only go in once a year. And when he did, he better have the blood. See, but he didn't have the blood of the lamb. He had the blood of goats and bulls. See, and that's why that could not cleanse their conscience, the Bible said. And every year, they kept coming back and doing the sacrifice again because their conscience was not renewed. But Jesus, once he broke that veil, he took care of all of that. And not only that, the Bible says even the graves were opened. Now, many people don't know that, but the graves were open. See? And many of the bodies of the saints that slept awoke. Right? Because Jesus died. Right away, the power of resurrection began to walk. Right away, he split that veil into it. And these saints that arose, they just stood there. You see? And then after Jesus' resurrection, then they came out and showed themselves. Read in the Bible. They showed themselves, you know, to many and so forth like that. But we're talking about that veil that was split right in half because of Jesus, what he did. Now, what did he do? He shed his blood upon the cross. We are going to speak to the importance of that blood this morning for just a few minutes. If you are ever wondering, why did Jesus have to die? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus had to shed his blood. And that is the blood that gives us access. See, the holy, into the holies of holies, the high priest, he used to go with the blood. And if God would not accept his sacrifice, well, you know, he'll be in trouble. You know, God might strike him dead. But they did that every year. But the Bible says Jesus, one time, he took care of that. Once and for all, by the sacrifice of himself, he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Now, when the graves opened up, when the veil was rent, and all of these things, Because the blood of the Lamb, it touched the ground, boy. And there was power everywhere. Even the grave split open. And all that. And the veil was rent in twain. And you say, what does that mean now that the veil is rent in twain? Well, let's find out what it means. Turn with me to Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to see what it has to say about that. We're reading from verses 13 through about 18. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Now it says, not as Moses which put a veil on his face. We already read that in Exodus. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. They were blinded, and even until this day, the same veil remains untaken away when they read the Old Testament. See? Now, you know, the blindness upon Israel until this day, the Bible says. You know, it said, but this veil is done away in Christ. This veil has been done away in Christ. Now, he says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now, that's the children of Israel, see, because they asked Moses to put that veil on. Until this day, they still have that veil. They still don't understand, you know. Many of them don't understand what Jesus did. But he said, nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The veil is taken away now. The veil is taken away. And once the veil is taken away, what happens? Verse 18. But we all, with open face now that the veil is taken away, we now can behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We don't need to tell anybody to cover his face, because he's not the only one that has exclusive access to the glory of God anymore. Amen? Yeah. But we are now changed into the same image from glory to glory. From glory to glory, he's changing us every day. Now, what are we doing now? We're supposed to press in beyond the veil, because the veil has been broken. Now, even Moses and even David, see, he would not be denied in his time. It wasn't time for him to go into the veil, but he would not be denied. And Jesus himself testified of this. I'm not going to read the Old Testament account, but I want to read the New Testament account, because there's something I want to bring out that ties into this message. In Matthew chapter 12, of course, the Pharisees were always accusing Jesus. Every time he did something on the Sabbath day, they would come and accuse him that, you know, why did you do these things on the Sabbath day? Don't you know what the law said? And so forth like that, you know. And Jesus returned, you know. So this was one such occasion. And, you know, here's what he's going to tell them, you know, just to shut them up. Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 3. And he says, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him. See, he went in the days of Abiathar the priest. And he and his men had been running and so forth like that. You know, they needed food. And he went to the priest. The priest said, you know, we don't have anything except the showbread that is in the, you know, we can't go in there. David said, I want it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now David, he understood the Lord. The Bible says David, being a prophet, he understood many things about the Lord. See, and he understood the mercy of God. And he went, Jesus is even testifying of the thing that David did, which some people will have said was unlawful. And Jesus said how he went into the, and you know, took the showbread and did eat, you see, and gave it even to the people that were with him. These things were only for the priests, he said. Or have you not read, you know, Jesus began to tell them, you know, how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and they are blameless? But I say unto you, in this place there is one that is greater than the temple. And he's talking about himself. And they were looking at him. They didn't understand. Now, Jesus is going to talk about all this again, and he's going to bring that mercy of the Lord right back. And this is the subject that we are going. This, all of this that I'm laying is a foundation. You know. And here's what he said in verse 7. But if ye have known what this means, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Now, God, when Moses wanted to see his glory, he talked about his mercy. Now here comes Jesus again. He's talking about David going beyond the veil. And he's talking about the mercy of God. Now, it is all about the mercy of God. And that's why in part two of this, which I believe by the grace of God we might do next week, we will be talking about the mercy seat. And you don't want to miss that. And Jesus, he ties that into the mercy of the Lord. And he said, if only you knew what he meant by saying, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Have you received the mercy of the Lord? Are you a vessel of mercy in here this morning? Amen. If you have received the mercy of the Lord, say praise the Lord.
Praise.
I say if you have received the mercy of the Lord, say praise the Lord.
Praise.
He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy and not sacrifice. See, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. See, then you would not have condemned the guiltless if you only knew what God meant by that. Oh my. And a prelude to next part two of this message. When God gave them plans to build that temple, and of course, in Exodus 25 and Exodus all through Exodus 30, he gives them all those plans and so forth. We'll cover some of it next time. But I like the account in Hebrews chapter 9 because he brings it all together in a few verses and tells, you know, what it is. But there is the temple, and outside the courts is a profane place. And then there are different compartments as they proceed in through there. And then after the second veil, there's different compartments that cut them off and so forth. And then after the second veil, there's the holiest place. But here is the thing that God told Moses when he was preparing the ark. And this is what we're going to get into more next week and see how the riches of his glory culminate into the mercy of the Lord. How it was the mercy of the Lord that breaks down this veil. Like Jesus is saying, talking about David piercing the veil, going to get the bread that wasn't belonging to him. And Jesus is talking that it's the mercy of the Lord. And remember, Moses also, when he was asking for his glory, God was talking about his mercy. You know, so we see how that all ties together. Now, when God told Moses to make the temple, and the ark and the mercy seat and all of these things, you can read all about in Exodus chapter 25. I'm not going to read all of that today, but next week, by the grace of God, we will get into the rest of that. But the one thing I want to tell you today is that after he told him to put the ark in there and he gave him the tables of the testament, he said, put it in the ark and put it, you know, in the holy place. He told him also to make the mercy seat. And he said, put it above the ark. And that's where we're going next week. We are going to that mercy seat next week. And see how God puts everything, puts his mercy above everything else. It's above the law. See, the law was in the testament. That was in the ark. And they carried this ark around for ages. And they even said the ark, you know, the presence of the Lord and so forth. But the Lord said to Moses, put the mercy seat above the ark. So we're going to be talking about that next week. In closing this message this morning, I want you to think that God has made a way for us into the holiest of places. The Bible says, let us now come boldly. That we don't have to be afraid of his glory anymore, like the children of Israel were, and they said, put a veil on your face. We can now come to God and ask freely because of the blood that Jesus shed. I'm going to close with this verse here in Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to read this to further draw attention to what the Lamb of God did for us by shedding his blood. Now, Revelation chapter 5, John was in a vision, and he saw many things. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book that was written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I heard a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open this book and to loose the seals thereof? And listen to this. I love this part in verse 3 of Revelation 5. And there was no man. Now that's no man. I don't care your name is a prophet or apostle or anything. There was no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth. They went everywhere. They searched everywhere. There was nobody that was able to open the book or to even look thereon. And John said, I wept much because there was no man found worthy to open the book or to read it, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, he said, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So here's John. Now he's looking for this lion that has prevailed. Well, they said the Lion of Judah. So John's looking around, trying to find this lion and so forth. And what did he see? And I looked, and behold, lo, in the midst of the throne. And instead of a lion, he saw the Lamb. The scripture that was read this morning, how he humbled himself and became of no reputation. He was the lion, no doubt, but he became a lamb for the slaughter. And there was a lamb that stood as if he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, this lamb, he came, bloody and all. So he said, he looked like he had been slain. He had blood all over him. And he walked up to that throne. And he said, give me the book. Praise the Lord. Now you see, you know, God made sure. See, he sealed that book with seven seals over. See, he made sure, lest there be no argument, who the rightful heir would be. He said, well, you know, lest anybody come and contend, I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to seal the book. See, now, one seal by God was enough. But he put seven seals on it, just to make sure. He said, but only the person that can open the seals, that he's the rightful owner to everything. How many of you can say praise the Lord? That's right. And the Lamb, he steps up. He takes the book. In fact, he steps on and says, give me the book. Hallelujah. And when he takes the book, oh my goodness. Remember, John, he looked for somebody else. He looked for some apostle and some prophet. He looked for some angel and somebody to open the book. They couldn't do it. Aren't you glad that it is Jesus that has the book? Can you imagine if God gave the key to somebody else? They would never forgive you of your sins. There are some people that are sitting in here this morning. Maybe you have offended. Even I myself as a pastor, we've been in this church 2 years. That is impossible for two years, you know, that we didn't offend somebody. But, you know, sometimes people would never forgive you. They hold that against you. And some of you have done some things, but maybe you ought to be in jail even. And if it was left to the hands of somebody, they would never forgive you. But Jesus, through his blood, he acquitted you of everything. How many of you can shout the preacher? Hallelujah! It is Jesus that has the keys. And he's got your name in that book.
Hallelujah.
Were written before the Lamb, I mean before the world began, when he was slain. And Jesus himself is the one that paid the price. The Bible says it is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Who then can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I want to invite you here this morning. If there's anything that you have done, if there's anything that you think you are unworthy, remember the story of the prodigal son, which I love to preach. You heard me preach it many times in this place. But I want to tell you something. No matter where you be, no matter where you are, it is the mercy of God that will reach out to you today. And the mercy of God is reaching to you. Hallelujah. And if you want to receive that mercy this morning, we never want to close any service, especially on a day like this, without giving somebody a chance to receive the mercy of the Lord. And for those who are vessels of mercy, if you have received this mercy already, oh, you ought to shout the victory. You ought to shout the joy. And I want to especially thank the Lord that God gave the keys only to Jesus Christ. Because if you gave it to somebody else, you know, they probably wouldn't like the way I spoke, or they wouldn't like the way I walk, or they wouldn't like something about me, you know, and so on. And they, you know, then they'd strike your name off. But Jesus, He looked beyond all my faults. And He saw that I was a vessel of mercy. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Come on, stand to your feet this morning and give the Lord the praise and the glory. If you are here this morning, and you say today is the resurrection morning, they call it Easter, we call it resurrection. Amen? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning, Jesus has shed His blood. You also have a right to go into the Holy of Holies. And if you have never experienced that mercy of the Lord in a personal way, I want to give you a chance this morning. Don't be ashamed. What a day. I mean, what better day than today for you to come and receive the mercy that is flowing through the blood of Jesus Christ. On a day that we are celebrating His glorious resurrection, the work of atonement that He did for us, to make a way for you into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. So that you also might be a vessel of mercy. If you are here this morning and you say, I want to experience this mercy, or my life has been one way or the other and I don't even know where I'm headed, but today, I want to know that my name is in that book. If you are here this morning, I want you to take a step of faith. Because we always like to invite people to come to the house of God to do this. When you come to the house of God, we are not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to call. You know, I want you to step into the aisle and come forward this morning. The Bible says, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. But if you will testify of me before men, then I also will testify of you. He will tell the angels your name. They will know your name. And if you want to receive that mercy, I'm going to give you a few minutes to come forward and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith with you. That the mercy of God will come into your life. And if you have received His mercy, I want you to throw your hands up and begin to pray this morning. Begin to give thanks to this morning. Now, if you want that mercy, I want you to come forward. And I can see the young man as he begins to come forward. Thank you for coming. It is unto Jesus that he comes. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one soul that repents. If I can get one soul into the kingdom of God today, it is all worth it. Amen. How many of you can say praise the Lord? And I can see they are coming. If we can get one soul on this resurrection morning that can say, I've been away from God. I was brought up in a Christian way, but I've been away from God. God is going to give you a chance this morning. You too can enter into the holies of holies. You too can enter into that holy of holies this morning. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I want all hands raised up in prayer. And we're going to pray for this young man. Praise the Lord. What would you like the Lord to do for you this morning?
Praise me for everything. Just praise everything.
Oh yes. You want to come back to the Lord this morning, don't you?
Yeah, always.
Yes. And you too, sir, what would you like the Lord? Don't never mind the church, never mind anybody. What would you like the Lord to do for you?
I just want to pray that, you know, the Lord renews my spirit and my soul and keeps me strong and faith.
You want to come back to the Lord also. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? The Bible says a true shepherd, he will leave the 99 that are righteous. And he will go after the one that is gone astray. And when he has found that one, he put it on his shoulder. And he'll come back and he'll rejoice in the Lord. Oh my. Praise God. What is your name, sir?
Daytron.
Daytron. And what's your name, sir?
Darren.
Darren. Hallelujah. Now, I want the church to pray with me for these two young men. They have come to receive His mercy today. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you, because you have made this bold step of faith this morning. You have come out today and you are not ashamed. You didn't worry about what people would think, but you came to the Lord this morning. I want to tell you today that the Lord will have mercy upon you. Father Lord, I pray for the mercy of God, that these two will become vessels of mercy also, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that you will wipe away their sins. Give them a new start, a clean slate, Lord, and let them know that their names are written in the book of life. Do you believe the Lord Jesus this morning? Do you believe He died and rose again?
Yes.
Oh, yes. He said yes. You believe he died and rose again?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that, people. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to pray as you are here. Just pray and say, Lord, forgive my sins. I want both of you just pray individually. Say, Lord, forgive my sins. I'm coming back to you today. I want to be a vessel of mercy. I want to receive your mercy in my life. And I know that you have great plans for me. And I know you have my name in the book of life. I thank you for the work of salvation. I thank you for dying for my soul. I thank you for dying for my sins. I receive you into my life. And may that light come into your life. Even as you receive Jesus. Receive that light. And if you know, I know you had the knowledge of God in your life. But perhaps you walked away and so forth. Never mind all of that. A new day is beginning for you. A new day has begun for you today. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. It is not by accident that he brought you here today. He brought you here for a reason. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, go with him. Go with him also. And put the light of your gospel in their hearts. The recognition that they have received your mercy. And cause their heads to be lifted up in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, lift up your heads and let the King of glory. Come on, lift up your head. There's no need to bow your head in shame again. Hallelujah! Glory to God! He said, lift up your head and let the King of glory come in. Oh, who is this King of glory? The Lord Mighty. He is the King of glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Go in peace and the Lord bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.